Thank you, Ross and Rosie. Fantastic message. Thank you so much for sharing your story with everyone. They're always so encouraging on baptisms, aren't they? It's what people crave more than when the pastor steps up to then deliver a message. And this is going to be a shorter message than normal because we're all together with a bunch of different ages and we're going to head out and witness the baptism itself soon. But what we are going to do is just carry on a little bit in our journey in the book of Romans. And we got to chapter 12. This is, for me, the highlight of the book. I love chapter 12. So it's a joy to be able to speak for a few minutes on it. And this afternoon in Faversham, I'll do a full sermon. So if you're feeling, oh, I want to hear more about this, then you can either come along to Faversham, where we've got three dedications. I am hopefully going to remember the names of the children as well. And that's going to be a great celebration up in Faversham as well. But we're thinking about what it means to be transformed by God's grace. And that's really what chapter 12 of Romans is about. Because as we're transformed by his grace, we get to follow him with our whole lives and say, I'm all in for God. And Rose has just done that. She's saying, I'm all in for God. Not because I'm wonderful, but because Jesus' grace has saved me. He is wonderful, and therefore I'm going to live for him. I'm going to live to please him, and in fact, going to take delight in living for him. And I'm going to read just the first two verses of Romans 12. And if you want the rest of the chapter, then come this afternoon. Here we go. So verse 1, and I think it will be up on the screen. For this reason, I make request to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you will give your bodies as a living offering, holy, pleasing to God, which is the worship that is right for you to give him. And let not your behavior be like that of this world, but be changed and made new in mind, so that by experience you may have knowledge of the good and pleasing and complete purpose of God. Incredible verses there about what it means to be transformed, changed. And actually, another version talks about it in those words specifically. It says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so I thought we would think a bit about what it looks like to have a transformed life. But the reality is that our culture around us and our experience, certainly mine recently, has been going for a customized life. And I want us to play with this theme a little bit before I explain a bit more about the verses we've read. Because we like our lives to be customized, don't we? Personalized to our interests, our tastes, our enjoyments, and the things that we love. And I'm going to get a bit of help right now because I've realized that after Rose's tremendous testimony, that if I just talk about this for 10 minutes, then you guys are going to switch off pretty fast. And I've prepped up, so I need Ross's mic. I've prepped up Joss, who's going to start us off. What I thought during the week when I was thinking about this was, what does a customized life look like? And this is what it looks like. If you imagine your perfect job, and Joss was telling us at the dinner table recently her perfect job, and I've asked you to tell everyone else, and can you? Yeah?
Ice cream seller, cafe.
Hold on, guys, there's more. Ice cream seller.
Cafe, hairdresser, artist and chameleon.
Did you catch that? Thank you, Joss. Okay, so we're not talking, I'm just going to be a teacher. We're talking ice cream seller, cafe, we know what that is, I don't need to explain. Number three, hairdresser. And number four, artist, hairdresser, and there was one more. Chameleon. Who knows what a chameleon is? They make people laugh. Comedian. Yes, round of applause for Joss. Thank you. Now, Joss has been thinking about the things she would love to do when she's bigger, and she would love to do a range of different jobs. That's customizing her life, making it relevant. I want some help with one area. I think I'm just going to go for one area, and this is going to be the area, okay? Pizza, okay, your pizza choice. And I want to know how you would customize your pizza to make it perfect for you. Now, in our family, we have a whole range. I'm going to just describe. You can guess who might be in those. One person likes it hot, spicy, and meaty. Another person just is all about the meat. Another one loves random mixtures, including tuna and pineapple. Somebody just loves plain cheese margarita. Now, you can figure out who you think those people might be in our family, but I want to have a few more volunteers, because if Joss can come up and Rosie can come up, I think other children and youth can come up and tell us what you would put on your perfect pizza. So, who's going to come up first? I want at least three people. Who's going to come up? Anyone going to come up? Come on, Gracie. Up you come. So, Gracie, what would you like on your perfect pizza?
Pepperoni.
Oh, pepperoni. Thank you. Okay, pepperoni. Anyone, you can't repeat pepperoni. You can say something else. Okay, come up here. We'll form an orderly queue. Emmeline, so what would you like on your perfect pizza?
Macaroni.
Wow, yes. Macaroni. We're getting very customised now. Mozzarella. Yeah, mozzarella is good too. Who else is up to tell us what they would like on their perfect pizza? Have we got... Come on, I'm sure there's more pizza lovers out here. And I want someone with creativity to just make my point even more helpfully. Who else? James, come on. Shall I come to you?
Olives and anchovies.
Okay, now, the other question is what you do with the pan. So you might have olives and anchovies, you might have macaroni or mozzarella, you might have a range of different things that you think, yeah, I'm going to go for this random combination. But what about the pan? Do you go stuffed crust? Do you go thin, stone-baked, or thick? What, hands up for stuffed crust. Oh, quite a few. I've discovered that I can do half a pizza stuffed crust, but not much more. Who goes thin pan? Okay, you healthy guys, well done. And who just goes full out thick crust or whatever it's called? Deep pan. Deep pan. Okay, bit of a mix. Now, why on earth are we talking about pizza? Oz, where are you going with this? You know, you're trying hard. We like to customise things and make things personalised and make things kind of work for us so that we can enjoy them and have fun and enjoy the perfect experience, the perfect meal, the perfect job, whatever it might be. But actually, when it comes to our faith as Christians, it can be quite easy to take what our culture says is really good, customise it, make it perfect for yourself, enjoy yourself. And apply that to the gospel, and this is what I think Paul has been working through so far up to chapter 12 in Romans, and he's got to the point where he said, do you know what? Jesus Christ is your saviour. Because of his death on the cross, he has saved you. If you put your faith in him, trust in his grace, that is enough. You don't need to add other things. That's what it is. We're saved by grace. We're saved by Christ alone and through faith alone. But what we also read in Romans is that as well as Jesus Christ being our Saviour, he's also our Lord. And that's what Ross started the service with. He read that passage at the start of Romans. And so far in Romans, we've kind of covered the Jesus Christ as our Saviour. But also, we read about Jesus Christ being our Lord. And in Romans 1 verse 4, it says that this Jesus Christ is Lord. And that means he's risen from the dead and is in charge of our lives. And from chapter 12 onwards, we begin to figure out what it looks like to allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life as well as the Saviour of our life. And we quite liked Jesus as our Saviour, don't we? We get forgiven. We get the promise of eternal life. We get the promise of the Holy Spirit in us. We're adopted. All these truths. But hold on a minute. We might struggle a bit more with Jesus Christ being our Lord, being over our decisions, over our finances, over our relationships, and submitting to him, offering everything to him. But what Rose is doing by her baptism today, she's saying, Jesus Christ is my Saviour, and Jesus Christ is my Lord. I'm going to stand up in front of people and talk, even though I'm anxious about it. I'm going to commit to following him, surrendering everything to him, and saying, you are my Lord. You have all of me. And because I'm transformed by grace, I'm all in for God. And so as we get to chapter 12, I'm just going to make a couple of points from the passage that help us see that a little bit more. Because there's some really powerful things in there that help us realize what it means to be not enjoying just some customized life that ourselves enjoy, and we love going to pizza and choosing the perfect pizza or imagining the perfect job. But we also realize that we are transformed, and we have this transformed life because of God's grace. And we're transformed by grace. And I'm going to just mention three things. We're completely saved when we're transformed by God's grace. We completely surrender, and we completely serve. And we find those three things in those first few verses. The first one is this: in view of God's mercy. So Paul is saying, in view of everything that I've said from chapter 1 to chapter 11, in view of that gospel story, in view of that mercy of God, that even though we were sinners, even though we were wicked and evil, we have, in faith alone, received God's grace and salvation. Because of God's grace, this is how we live. So in view of God's mercy. So it's like looking at the treasure chest of the first half or two-thirds of the book of Romans, which is all about the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and then looking forward to the rest of our life saying, in view of God's grace, I can only live like this. In view of God's grace and my complete salvation, we're totally saved. Because it's not therefore that because we're saved, we have to just go to church once a week, or even we have to just get baptized, or we have to read our Bible. It's not about that. It's in view of God's grace, we're transformed so that our whole outlook changes and we want to live for the God who saved us because we've been transformed. This is a renewal, a change. And maybe you're like me and this is a bit familiar and you've heard this in church quite a lot and you got a bit stuck and you just need to be reawakened to the wonder of the grace of God and the transforming power of Jesus. So have you accepted God's grace for yourself? Have you really rested in his complete saving work? Or do you kind of customize the gospel and accept Jesus's forgiveness for you because he died for your sin and you are grateful for the empowering Holy Spirit and the promise of heaven, but kind of you draw the boundaries around your bank account? You draw the boundaries around the relationships that you have, the way that you speak and act and think on your own and with others. If Jesus is Lord, he takes claim of our whole lives. And if we're all in for him because of his transforming work, then suddenly, wow, our whole lives are radically impacted. So complete salvation has an impact. And it looks like complete surrender. And this isn't total, this is total, it's not partial, it's full on, because that verse said, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, wow, what is Jesus saying here? Offer yourselves as a living sacrifice. Well, in the Old Testament, we had stories, didn't we, of the people of God, the Jewish people, giving their sort of a lamb that was slain, or giving a burnt offering as a way of showing their devotion and love for God. Is that what we have to do? How on earth do we do that, you might be wondering. Well, in temple worship in the Old Testament, this would have been a whole burnt offering because Jesus was a sin penalty. That was what the lamb was once a year on the Day of Atonement. But here, what Paul seems to be saying is we've got to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, and that's equivalent to the whole burnt offering that the people in the Old Testament used to give at the temple. And that looked like a really good, the best, most valuable thing that you could offer, whether that was grain or an animal or whatever it was. And you would give your best to God as a sign of devotion, a sign of consecration, like commitment to God. And here Paul's saying, church, completely surrender, and you are the whole burnt offering. You are the sacrifice, and it's your whole body that is given to God, not just your mind, not just your spirit or soul, your whole body. So that looks like our whole lives, everything being given to God. That means it matters, therefore, how we handle our money, how we do our relationships, how we think about our future, our jobs, our thought life, our actions, the way we talk to our brothers and sisters, how we behave at school. Our whole lives, God, are for you. Totally saved and total surrender. That's what Paul is teaching about. A whole life given as an offering to God. Why would we do that? Because his grace is so amazing. And then the third thing, complete service. We're not just called to give and give and give and that be like this self-denying hard thing that we have to go through, and we do it with a kind of glum face, a sort of sad expression. Oh, it's hard being a Christian. I've got to give my whole self to God, mind and body, everything he's after. No, this is a service that is based in the God who is pleased with his children serving him. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Now, again, that phrase there, kind of true and proper worship, means like logical, rational, a natural consequence. So it's the obvious thing to do to a God who saves you by grace and pours his love upon you is to give all you can to serving him, to live for him, to use your gifts, your talents, your personality for his purposes and glory. And that is what worship is. We sing and we engage in worship, but we worship with our hands every day. We worship as we talk and as we do relationships and as we go through life with our family and our friends and our community. And so as well as completely surrendering, Paul's saying completely serve. And as Rosie today has stood up and saying, I'm going to follow Jesus, he's my saviour and he's my Lord, she's saying, I completely believe that I'm saved. I believe that my life is surrendering over to Jesus as Lord. And I believe that I'm going to serve him now with the life going forward, with whatever that looks like. So we're transformed and it's to please him. This is how the second verse just finishes in this section. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does transformation look like? The renewal of our mind, the giving of our body to God and his purposes, all because of his grace. That's the life of a disciple. That's the life of someone following Jesus. And we can do that as we are hairdressers, as we're cafes, as we're artists, as we enjoy Pizza Hut nights or, you know, frozen pizzas. But do you know what? We need the right base. If we're thinking about pizzas, we need the right base. It's not just about the toppings. Carrying on with this illustration. So we can customize stuff and we can create and serve God. But unless we've got the base, which is the fact that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, we have a sloppy mess. Okay? Thank you, James. Well, we've got it. And so let's be a church that enjoys seeking God, living the transformed life with the base of the gospel, the wonder of our different personalities and backgrounds and futures, because God has done a transforming work in our lives for his glory. This is what J.B. Phillips said on that verse. He said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within. And as we do that, it means we can have conversations with, if we're parents, with our children about Squid Game. Or we can have conversations with our children about Halloween. We don't say yes or no. We say, what does it look like to be a Christian in this sphere? How do we engage with these things well and helpfully? How can we be a church that doesn't conform, is transformed, and lives in a way that is different and impacting the communities that we're a part of? So as we think about that, and as we're going to head out for the baptism now, I'm going to finish with this quote from a guy called C.T. Studd. He's a stud. I looked at his image on Google. Tell you what, his beard would rival anyone's here. He was a cricketer, actually, but also then a missionary in China and India and various other countries in Africa, continent of Africa. And this is what he said, and this kind of summarized his life, and I thought it really fitted with what we're thinking about today. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. What sacrifice is God asking you to make for him today? Maybe it's standing up here with a microphone and sharing your testimony and getting baptized. Maybe it's that. And we can have one in the middle of November if need be. It's going to get colder. What a sacrifice it would be, but why not? Maybe your sacrifice is how you're spending your leisure free time. Maybe it's the relationship you're in. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's just giving yourself another kind of concerted effort to look at what God's word says each day so you can hear his voice and allow him to transform you further. I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us not to conform, but to be transformed because of your wonderful grace and mercy. I pray that we would give ourselves to you, that we would realize our complete salvation by your grace, that we'd be people of complete surrender because that's what you call us to, because you are our Lord, and that we would serve you with our all, that we'd be all in for God, and begin to see the impact of that on the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen.